I want to like to spend 2 days reviewing the best I can some of the ideas presented in this relatively new sefer called Lashon HaKodesh, History, Holiness, and Hebrew by Rabbi Reuven Chaim Klein. Okay, this book made a splash. It came out about a year ago. I read it a year ago and I tried to review some parts of it last night. And it's a fascinating book. Basically, was malakid everything in the world it can possibly find about Lashon HaKodesh, and organize it in a very beautiful way. Now, this week, the reason why I wanted this week, we learned a little bit about the cousin of Lashon HaKodesh, Aramaic. Aramaic is, where do we find Aramaic? First of all, Lavan Harami. Yaakov, this week, he takes up residence with Lavan Harami. Lavan, why is he called Harami? Some say, I think it's a Medrash, it's not, I'm not exactly sure, but he was one of the inventors, if that cannot be accurate, but one of the great advocates, or what's a good word, the person who promoted, one of the big people who promoted the use of Aramaic. And that's why he was called Aramaic. Harami. Lavan Harami. And where do we see this in the parasha? When Yaakov Avinu made a peace treaty, when Yaakov fled, he made the Gal. Yaakov called it Galeit. And Lavan said, no. We're going to call it Yigar Sohadusa. Yigar Sohadusa is a... It's basically the Aramaic translation of the word Galeit. Sohadusa is testimony. And Yigar means a mound. A mound that will serve as testimony that there is peace between me and you, and you don't take from me, I won't take from you, and our descendants, there should be a peace treaty between my descendants and your descendants, and so on and so forth. So the Torah goes out of its way to write, Torah is Lashon Kodesh, Torah is the holy book, is the building blocks of creation, and yet here there's an explicit reference to the word, an Aramaic expression, which is a quotation of Lavan called Yigar Soadus. So we over here the contrast between Hebrew and Aramaic, and what is the Targum? The Targum over here says V'kro le Lavan Yigar Sahadusa V'yakov koro le Galeit. Okay, so we have here a very open reference. So let's take a look at this some of the things, some of the ideas. Okay, I ask you to give me some leeway because I didn't prepare it all that well. So let's just take some ideas out of the Sefer. Okay, it starts over here with a very cute little quotation from King Frederick the Great. Anyone know who knows he was? King Frederick. I don't know which one he's referring to. He says, "I speak French to my ambassadors, English to my accountant, Italian to my wife, Latin to my God, and German to my horse." A person, language is basically the koyach of communication. And every person, you have a different technique. There's a different way to communicate with different types of people. With your wife, we all know the way you talk to your friends is not the way you talk to your rabbi. The rabbi, don't even start. Which one is worse? Which one is better? The way you talk to your politician is not the way you talk. The way you talk to the plumber is not the way you talk to the rabbi. The way you talk to the plumber is not the way you talk to your neighbor. There's a certain vocabulary, a certain expression, and here he very nicely, I think this really captures quite a bit of, I talk to my dog in German, and I talk to my God in Latin. There's obviously a lot of chokhmah, there's a tremendous amount of chokhmah, and it's very funny that he takes this, there's a lot of secular references here. This is a Kohl Jungerman. The person who wrote this book has quite a vocabulary. What? He grew up in obviously grew up in a much more modern. You know him?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So this is his hakdama. So let's begin with some ideas. First question is, What language did Adam HaRishon speak? What was the language of Adam HaRishon? So this is a very big dilemma. So you're saying Aramaic.
Absolutely. He called Chaya, instead of Chaya, he called Chava.
He called the Chava? So Chava is Aramaic?
Absolutely.
Okay, that's an interesting idea. Yeah. Okay, so this in fact is a very big debate.
Okay.
Yes. What? They did not hear any other language spoken. Okay, so these are all very big mysteries of creation. Hashem, the Torah was the building blocks of creation. We have a tradition that the Torah was Lashon HaKodesh. And Lashon HaKodesh is the Aleph Beis. And this L'chari, Adam HaRishon was the creation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Yetzirah Kabbalah. L'chari, he was taught, the intellect that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put into his mind was the foundation of language was in Lashon HaKodesh. That is the assumption. But what you're quoting from is the Gemara. The Gemara in Masechet Sanhedrin says that Adam HaRishon, right, the Gemara Lamed Ches, exactly, Lamed Ches Lamed Beis, the Gemara says that Adam HaRishon spoke in Aramaic. Sibur Lashon Arami. And the Gemara is, one of the Raya's says, Yimayokar. There's a word, the quotation from Adam in Tehillim, which we ascribe to Adam HaRishon, and the word Pasuk there used the word Yokar. The word Yokar is the Aramaic for kavod, for honor, or for Yokar is an Aramaic word. In the Torah, there are many Aramaic words scattered here and there. But this is one of the sources that we learned that Adam HaRishon spoke Aramaic. Now the question is, why would Adam HaRishon speak Aram? Now, but on the other hand, Adam HaRishon, it has to be the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Who else transmitted to us Lashon HaKadosh not Adam HaRishon? So the answer, so this really is pretty much is a contradiction. There are various midrashim and there are various sources that Adam HaRishon spoke Lashon HaKadosh, but the Gemara, there are other indications that Adam HaRishon spoke Aramaic. So the question is, which one did he speak? Was Lashon HaKadosh or was it Aramaic? So the answer, the simple answer, which many of the commentators, he spoke both. So when he spoke in holy matters, the simple answer given by Rav Reuven Margolios, okay, Rav Reuven Margolios writes that it's a simple answer, and also a lot of this comes from the clues that one of the big sources to understand the true nature of Lashon HaKodesh comes from the Kuzari, Rav Yehuda Halevi. One of the chapters he deals very much with the origin of Lashon HaKodesh, Aramaic, in his discussion with the king, he wanted to understand. And the basic approach is that Adam HaRishon, indeed, he spoke two languages. He spoke for his holy matters, Lashon HaKodesh, and when he spoke for mundane matters, he spoke in Aramaic. And there's another... It's not clear. The Torah obviously does not record every single conversation Adam HaRishon had. Adam HaRishon lived 930 years. So he obviously had a lot to say in 930 years. The Torah does not record very much of what he said. These are very, very great mysteries. I'm just quoting over here bits and pieces. Now, yeah.
Saying they spoke two languages, deal with that at the time of the flood, they spoke.
Okay, we're going to come to that. Come to that, they spoke 70 languages. So, how did those 70 languages come to them? We'll get to that in a few moments. That's the second chapter of this book. We'll just first go some interesting ideas. Now, he quotes over here something from my great grandfather, the Hadrash Vihu'ion. I never heard of this before, and he has a whole development on this. The Hadrash Vihu'ion has an idea. I have to see the source and see where all this comes from. Is that Aramaic is the language of mourning, of avelos. It's a fascinating idea. And the proof really comes from a medrash that says that when Adam HaRishon, when Sarah Yimenu died, and it came to Kiryas Arba. Kiryas Arba is Aramaic. Kiryas Arba. Kiryas Arba, the place where he bought the Ma'aris Machpelah in Chevron, the people there, he spoke to them, his conversation with Ephraim Achiti, and the play was, everything was done in Aramaic because Aramaic is the language of Avelos. And why would Aramaic be the language of Avelos? it's a step down from Lashon HaKodesh. After Adam, this again, this is based upon built upon an idea that Adam, the language of Aramaic, was only invented after the Chet of the Eitz Hadas. Until the time of the Eitz Hadas, Adam HaRishon was the perfect. He was the Yetzir Kap of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He spoke in the language of creation, Lashon HaKodesh. After he sinned, he was no longer going to live forever. He was going to die. That was the decree of Nisa came upon him. And he introduced into his being degrees of a lack of holiness. Chol, eating from the Eitz Hadas, diminished the Kedusha. He no longer is entitled to speak Lashon Kodesh on a continual basis, because you're no longer holy, you're going to die. The proof that you're no longer holy is the fact that you're going to die. Therefore, you have to now divide your time and your activities between holy matters and mundane matters. For the holy matters, you can continue to speak Lashon Kodesh, but for the part of your existence which now has become mundane to the chait of the Eitz Hadas, you're no longer entitled to abuse the holy language. You have to use a corrupted form or a watered down version of Lashon HaKodesh, which is Aramaic, for your mundane. Since that is a direct consequence of death, Mimela, it comes out that at a time of death, the proper language to focus on to use is Aramaic. So when eulogies were composed, elegies, women would mourn. And in fact, you find this in the Gemara when they find all different examples of when people died, they have these very beautiful, eloquent expressions, and they're almost always in Aramaic. Why couldn't they find some expression in Hebrew to describe death and describe the greatness of a person? There are always these beautiful, some of the best poetry in the Gemara is in describing expressions of death and mourning, and they're always in Aramaic.
What? That's the popular language.
It's more than that. It's more because you would assume that death, elegies and lamentations, is a holy moment. You're focusing on the person's neshama is now going to Shemayim. It's a spiritual time. This person is not maskid karoy. There are very severe repercussions. Mary, so you would think that now was a time when a person should express his koyach of language in Hebrew. But look at the Paitanim. The Paitanim. Rabbi Elazar HaKalir. He wrote piyutim for all of the holidays. They're all written in Hebrew. They're not written. I shouldn't say Hebrew. That's the difference between Hebrew and the Lashon Kodesh. They're not written in Aramaic. His piyutim and all the people of his time. But what was the common language?
We don't know what his time was.
Okay, we don't know what his time was, but at least we know that he presumably lived. No, that's not so simple. Presumably he lived in a time, even in the middle of Babel, where he lived in a time where the common language was Aramaic. That's a fact. And the people, the early Kadmonim, the early Rishonim, the language that they were the most familiar with, okay, I don't know if this, everything I'm saying is 100% correct, but they were very, very fluent in Aramaic. Yet the piyutim they composed for the Chagim are all in Hebrew. So you see that when you want to bring out ideas of Kedusha in piyut, you go to the best. What?
Agdamas
was really the Targum of the Hagdama, the Rishus. So that's more of an exception. That's part of the Targum of the Torah.
There's something else. Tefillah a lot of times goes through Malachim. The Malachim don't know Lashon
HaRami. They do not know. So you want to go direct to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They look at it as a language of Bezayin. Okay, that's another idea. But this, okay, I'm just throwing out this idea which requires further study. It's a very fascinating idea from the Hadrash, the owner of Aaron Levine. He says that Aramaic, if you'll study the sources, you will discover Aramaic is the language of Avelis. When you focus on mourning and death, this is the language of choice. When you focus on life, the language of choice is Hebrew. It's Hebrew. That's the idea. It's a Kiddush? What? He's saying very good. Michal, you hear what he's saying? Kaddish. Kaddish is Aramaic.
Right. Yeah,
Kaddish is Aramaic.
Kaddish is not the
language. It's the language of the living in reference to the dead. The living is mourning with the Kaddish. The Ikar Kaddish is to set to give an Aliyah for the Neshama for the dead. That's a fact. Yiskadal v'yiskadash, Rabbi, we're saying this.
And Lord Tzion.
What?
It doesn't talk about it.
But it was composed. This is the tradition. The Yiskadal Kaddish is said in order to elevate the Shema Yisrael Yehi Shmei Rabba, the Targum. But the Kaddish was, the Kaddish today is used in honor, to give honor. Baruch Shem Kamalchus Tzvulam, but the Targum, Baruch Shem Kamalchus Tzvulam, is Yehi Shmei Rabba Mvorach Liyolam. Okay, but it's a... That's the translation of Baruch Shem Kamalchus Tzvulam Vued. But it's a fact that Kaddish today is... We don't say on a dead, Baruch Shem Kamalchus Tzvulam Vued. We say Yehi Shmei Rabba Mvorach Liyolam Vumayah, correct? So you see that we're selecting the Aramaic version versus the Hebrew version. The Hebrew version of Kaddish is Baruch Shem Kvar Malchus Liolam Voed. The Aramaic version is Yehi Shmei Rabba. The Aramaic version. What is the version we use to give honor to the dead? Yehi Shmei Rabba. So there is something to it. The common answer is, the reason why we say Kaddish, the Aramaic, was because when Kaddish was composed, the common language of man was Aramaic. So we want everyone in shul to know what they're saying. The Yukim Purkin is in Aramaic. Okay, those are the simple answers. But this is a deeper answer, is that Aramaic, we have to go back to the sources. The sources are Adam HaRishon was created in Lashon HaKodesh. There is an approach in the commentators that when Adam HaRishon, Aramaic was invented with as a collateral damage to the Chet of the Eitz Hadas. The Eitz Hadas brought death into this world. It brought a koyach of tumah, a koyach the opposite of Kedusha. And therefore Adam now was given a new language. There was a language, a holy language, and there was a mundane language. The holy language is for Dvar Moshe Kedusha before the Chet Eitz Hadas, which when men would live forever. And then there's the new language that was introduced after the Chet Eitz Hadas, which came as a consequence of death. Mimela, any time we want to, the focus, the theme of the day is death. We're at a funeral. We're saying Kaddish for the Nifter. Or we're eulogizing the Nifter. The language of choice of death is Aramaic. And the Medrash Kamat says this beferish, that when it says that when Adam Rishon came to Kiryas Arba to go and eulogize, to go and to buy, purchase the land, it goes to the point that now Avraham shifted. Avraham came to Ephron to purchase the land, the Medrash says, he shifted gears and he focused now on Aramaic.
You said they spoke Aramaic.
That's a whole chapter. He has a, I don't know the answer. It's one that is the most difficult chapter in this book. The big dilemma, what language did the Canaanim speak? Okay, which language did the Canaanim speak? There were seven nations of Canaan that were living in the land. Klal Yisrael crossed over the Yarden. They come and tell them, get out or we'll kill you. It's our land. Which language did they speak to them in? What was their language? No one knows the answer to this question. It's a big mystery.
Each one of these,
and those dialects were dialects of what? What were they dialects of?
Of course, they're Semitic languages.
So, but were they? Maybe not. Maybe it was Akkadian.
No, the Canaan were not Semitic.
Sumerian. Could be Sumerian.
Those are all different regions.
But there was shame, language separated.
That's a Hamitic.
There were three major branches of language. All languages, modern system, all languages are broken up to shame, Chum, and Yefes. Shem, Chum, and Yefes, when they broke different parts of the world, the languages can be rooted in these, there are roots of various collections of languages that are rooted in certain, they have certain similarities. Okay, that's Hebrew. That's Hebrew and Aramaic. Those are all related. There are three languages that are very, very similar. Arabic, Aramaic, and Hebrew, which we call Lashon Kodesh. Lashon Kodesh, those are three, they're all part of the same thing. But then there are other collections of languages that are very different, families that are very, very different. Mystery, major, major mystery. What language, all the historians they debate this, what language did the Canaanim speak? Did they speak in Aramaic? Did they speak in Lashon Kodesh? And they discovered the artifacts which have writings from the Canaanim in Aramaic. And things that are not even Aramaic, which are even closer to Lashon Kodesh. And some want to discount and says, this is a very big Chiddush, they wrote in one language? This is something which today is completely foreign to the mind today. No one would give you a second look when you say this, but it's true in ancient times. There was a language that was spoken, and it was a language that was used for written communication. When you write in a different language. Think about that. Today we speak in English and we write in English. It's all the same. Don't confuse me that when I write a letter, the letter can only be written in a different language. It's nonsense to us. If you speak in English, you write in English. You write in English, you speak in English. In ancient times, there were civilizations where they spoke one language, but when they communicated in writing, it was a different language. It didn't even resemble. It did not resemble the spoken word.
X.
What?
X.
What does that mean?
Communication in X.
In what?
On the computer.
On the computer. Okay. Different language. Different computer.
In
language.
Ancient times, the populace did not write at all. It was always they had a writer who wrote for them.
Who wrote for you? But when you would write,
these people had a different language.
So even though we may today discover a handful of artifacts from the time of the Canaanim, which the writing is in something very close to Aramaic or Hebrew, that's not a proof as to the language that was spoken among the ancient Canaan. Okay, I'm just throwing out ideas. Don't get so worked. Don't get so worked out. That's the purpose of it, is to throw out some ideas. Okay, now, there's another approach. Another approach is, this is also very mysterious, this idea, that Adam Harishain, this comes from Heschel of Krakow. You know who this is? He lived in the 17th century. He has a thesis that suggests Adam Harishon spoke, Rabbi Heschel, Adam Harishon spoke Lashon Kodesh in Eretz Yisrael. But Adam Harishon did not only live in Eretz Yisrael. Adam Harishon lived 930 years. He traveled the world. How did he travel? I don't know how he traveled. He had a plane, he had a private jet. I don't know what it means. But he traveled. He traveled. He had means of travel that we are unfamiliar with. Listen, it was a marvel. The Mabul destroyed, there were animals, there were dinosaurs, there were things that we don't know from. The Mabul destroyed a good part of the animal kingdom. We only have very bare remnants of what's left. Adam Harishon, he traveled. He traveled, he set up, there were civilizations all over the world to the descendants of Adam Harishon, 930 years. And Adam Harishon spoke Lashon Kodesh in Eretz Yisrael, but spoke Aramaic in Chutz Liaretz. And there are a lot of sources that support this idea. But let's talk about there's something very holy about Lashon Kodesh, which is a very big mystery. This talks about the end of the book. It's very bizarre that Klal Yisrael only went into Golus for 70 years. They were in Golus for 70 years after the Churban Bayis Rishon. And when they came back at the end of the Bayis Rishon, the Psukim, it says this in Ezra, most of the people forgot the Hebrew language. How could it possibly be you're only out of the land for 70 years and you don't remember your mother tongue? You don't remember what? So the question is, let's talk about Poland, Lithuania and Poland and some other countries. It's a fact that the Jewish people living there spoke Yiddish or other dialects of Yiddish,
reason,
and German, really German.
Because they didn't want to speak the language of their host country.
Their host country. Poland, no one in Poland speaks German. None of the Polacks, the real Polacks speak German. It doesn't exist. The language German. And yet, there were Jews from the time when they first emigrated, different reasons, going back. The Jews settled in Poland for almost 1,000 years. It's a fact.
Yeah.
Where do they come from? They came from Germany. They came from France, they came from maybe from Rome. They somehow made their way there, and they brought with them the German language, and that German language somehow transformed into Yiddish. And then, at the time of the Holocaust, a good chunk of the population did not even know any language other than German. You're living in Poland for 1,000 years, and there's no Polak that knows German, and only the Jews know German? That's pretty good. That's pretty good. So why couldn't the Jews who went from Eretz Yisrael to Baal for only 70 years. 70 years is not 1,000 years. They couldn't preserve to some degree the Hebrew language that when they came back to Eretz Yisrael, they should know the Hebrew language? How you talk can it really be? This is one of the big mysteries. It's a very big mystery. How could this be? So the answer they give, it's not an answer which you can put on paper, it works, it's a scientific answer, it's a spiritual. It's a Lashon Kodesh, is a very holy language. There's a Kedusha. It has a certain sensitivity which you cannot detect. It does not tolerate, it does not allow itself to be abused. And it only has Siyata Deshmaya for retention in a holy place. in Eretz Yisrael. Ad Mas HaKodesh. When you leave Eretz Yisrael, when you leave the Holy Land, you can try your best to preserve the language, to speak the language. It's just not going to go. The kedusha of the Lashon HaKodesh is a chiddush. It's not something which you to take lightly, this idea. The kedusha of the language is rooted in the kedushas ha'oretz. And when that kedushas ha'oretz is severed from the kedushas ha'loshon of the language, it dissipates. It dissipates, there's a lack of siyata shmaya, and it's forgotten. German is not a holy language. Even though they would say, Aaron Rakefi always says, he says that when he learned in Lakewood for a very short time, he says they taught him that the Torah was given at Har Sinai in Yiddish.
Really?
And if you don't believe that, you're an apikoros. The Torah at Har Sinai was given in Yiddish. It's impossible to learn if you don't learn in Yiddish. This is the way it was. So even that's, so the fact is, Yiddish is not a holy language. That's a fact. It's not. It's German. It's not a holy language. You want to say, the best you can possibly say is that the Jews, by using it for 1,000 years, they've Judified it. Like the marches, like the Napoleon marches that have become holy songs in all of a Klal Yisrael. That when you go and you apply yourself, so you can give it an added kedusha, but inherently it has no kedusha. What?
One said, Pshat, it says, Leishinu is Leshainam.
Leshainam?
Leshainam does not mean that they spoke
Hebrew. It means the manner, refined way.
No, they spoke, for instance, the Yeshiva Shared.
No,
refinement.
Refinement.
They took the language of the land and they Yiddishized it.
Okay, all right. Okay, fine.
They
okay.
Added, they put
it. Yes, I was a Amish. The guy was hitting me over the back. And he was Gefarla.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's another. Okay. Okay, so this is another yesoid. Okay, another beautiful yesoid. Lashon HaKodesh is rooted in the Kedushas HaOretz. They're not two separate things. I don't think the average person looks at it like that. The average person views there's Lashon HaKodesh, and then there's living in Eretz Yisrael. Hay luchud v'hay luchud. You can have a holy expression, you can live in nothing. No, they're totally zeh b'zeh. There's a direct correlation between the two, and therefore when you leave the land, you don't have a language to speak in. Adam HaRishon, he traveled the world in ways that we do not know. When he left the Kedusha of Gan Eden, whatever that was called, Eretz Yisrael, he had to make use of Aramaic. When he was in Eretz Yisrael, that's when he used Lashon HaKodesh. Given the other answer, before the Chet, after the Chet, okay. Now, running out of time, I want to tell you one idea that really, I think is the most powerful idea that I've come across in this area, that he quotes from Rav Shamshon Rafal Hirsch. He elaborates it, but I think this is the essence, and maybe I'm making a mistake, but I think this is what he really means to say. Is that I'm jumping ahead now in the book. He has quite an extensive discussion about what happened at the time of the Dar HaFlaga, which we'll do tomorrow, in a few minutes, a little bit, of the Dar HaFlaga, the Tower of Bavel, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu dispersed everyone, and then that's when the 70 language became popular. What exactly is the difference between Lashon HaKodesh and Aramaic, or for that matter, all 70 languages? Aramaic is really just part of all the 70, just the closest thing to Hebrew. But it's not Lashon HaKodesh. What exactly is the essence that defines the difference between the two? So you'll give me the popular answers. The popular answer is that Lashon HaKodesh is the true identity of creation, the building blocks of creation. Every single item, when you look at the letters, they're all the secrets. It can have multiple meanings. There's holy. There are no words in Lashon Kodesh that describe the act of marital relations, things like that. All these different ideas. That's a borrowed word.
Euphemisms.
Okay. So but he says, Rav Shamshon says something a little bit different. He says as follows: Lashon HaKodesh is the language of expression. All other languages, which are the languages of perception. It's a very deep idea when you think about it. Listen to me. Lashon Kodesh is the true way, the Kuzakoy Chadibur. you want to express yourself to your friend. You want to connect. I want to tell you something. I want to give you something from my essence to give over to you. The way I communicate with you is through language. You need the perfect language. The perfect language must include part of yourself to express what I want to say. All 70 languages are not true, because they lack the holiness, true definitions of oneself or one's means of expressing oneself, but rather it's the way one person perceives someone else. Based upon my perception of you, this is how I perceive you, I want to extrapolate from that, take those ideas, and try to use it as a means of communication with you. It's a second-hand form of expression. There's a true expression. I don't have words to try to.
You don't have the right expression.
I don't have the right expression, but it's something to think about. I think there's something. I think he's touching upon something that's extremely deep, and we need someone to come here who has a good vocabulary and a good mind to bring out what he really means. This is what Shamshon Folosh is saying. What?
Need a literature.
Yeah, but who did he speak
that? Language. What is language? You have French. You have English. You have Latin. Greek. Whatever your language. We live in a world where you see someone. You analyze your environment. There's a degree of perception. So is my perception true? Not necessarily. My perception is shallow. I only can see what the naked eye sees. I don't really know what's going on behind the scenes. I have a good evaluation of the situation based upon experience, based upon time, based on my knowledge, and I can compare one thing to another, maybe that we talked over, so I can come up with words, ideas, concepts that is my perception of the reality. And I can use those concepts which I have invented based upon my limited perception and use it as a means of communicating with you. But here's the catch. My perception is limited. There's no person that has a true knowledge of reality. I don't know what you're thinking. I don't know the way the world really works. I don't know what's going on behind the scenes.
Why is it more so in Hebrew?
So, because Hebrew is, the Hebrew represents reality, not just perception. It represents the ultimate knowledge of truth of what really is, not just perception. It doesn't have the limit. What?
No, we have the power to grasp.
HaKadosh Baruch Hu does.
Oh, okay.
So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us this language, and he gave us the ability to use this language. When we use this language, and we use words, from this language, we are truly expressing ourselves to others. When we use a man-made language, we're not truly expressing ourselves, because the language that we're using to express ourselves is shallow. It doesn't really capture the MS. It only captures our perception of the MS. So the words and the expression that we have invented is not a true way to express yourself, because I don't have the tool to express myself.
I have someone to express a tool.
Okay, so that
had no one to express it to. I mean, how many people were at that time in Germany who could express themselves in Hebrew like he did?
Okay, then he's not referring to that. He's giving the general idea. There is Hebrew, and there are 70 languages.
Yeah.
Hebrew is a true form of expression.
I hear what you say, but
other languages can inherently not be a true form of expression, because they do not, the language, the words are not a true definition. It's a perception. A word that is invented by man is based upon a man's perception. A perception, by definition, is incomplete. So if I am trying to speak to you and use words, how can I convey something when the words I'm using are not even bringing out the full truth of what I want to say, because the words are just based upon perception?
But you're articulate, you can.
The best you are, even the best possible form of articulation is still falling short of the truth, because the words that you're using are words which are based upon perception. There's expression versus perception. That's the difference between Lashon Kodesh and all other languages. Okay, they have. Okay, Mirat Hashem, tomorrow we'll continue some more of this.
So if you say a kelev expresses the essence of a dog, and if you say a dog, You're just saying a perception of the dog. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, to some degree. Now that's not a really good. That's not. Yeah, to some degree. Yeah, a dog is a word which is a perception of what to us appears to be a dog, but a kelev is the true. Is the true dog. Okay.